Fourth meeting is called order. We start with the Pledge of Allegiance and the flag is right behind you.
Okay. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Welcome to the fourth meeting. The first order of business is to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Welcome. You've joined the court meeting. The first order of business is public comment. Citizens can address us, the board. We don't have anybody signed up. Is there anybody who would like to speak at this point? Okay. The first item of business is an executive session. So we are going to recess to an executive session. We have an attorney here, and she's got to get back on the boat. So we will go into executive session. Is there to discuss with legal counsel matters relating to enforcement of actions, or to discuss legal counsel litigation, potential litigation with the court, and or a member who is acting or might acting in a court capacity that may have public knowledge, which could have legal adverse effects if disclosed publicly. So, what is the estimated time for this, Kathleen, Peter?
Should we say half an hour and then revise if we need to?
Okay. Yeah. We will be in executive session for 30 minutes. Let's see what time is it now.
7:01.
Okay, so
7:02.
7:02, so 7:32. Okay, we will come back. We will let you know if we finish early, if you're out of line. Thank you, Tom. We're just bringing for executive session.
These are matters that are routine items and one matters, and we cast them by one
vote unless the commissioner wants a separate vote on that. Now, these are meeting minutes approvals and approval of warrants.
I think noticed a typographical error when I read through these, when it was a year where it said 2016 and I thought it meant 2017, but now I can't remember where it was. But there's a reference to a January date.
Item number 6 in the meeting minutes of November 22nd, 2016, is the closing sentence, indicates January 25th, 2016. Board Secretary will amend that to reflect 2017.
Okay.
And I did notice that on page, the fourth page of the overall packet, which is actually 11:22, the meeting minutes, under commissioner comments. I think that high turnover is probably the correct phrasing than high turnaround.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Some directors never said that.
Other than that, I didn't have any observations, and I would move approval of the consent agenda as amended.
Second.
Any more discussion?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next is financial report. We have it here. Is there any discussion from staff?
There isn't any discussion unless there are questions on it. Juanita and I worked on our new format today, and we hoped to get it down, and we didn't, which would give you better financial planning tools showing you percentages of budget. And I will email that to you tomorrow. We'll have it finished tomorrow. Juanita apologized. She had an event with her children tonight, so she couldn't be here. We're tracking budget-wise, considering all of the additions we've made this year, we're doing, again, quite well on the bottom line.
So So the tools that you'll be presenting, that will basically be based on the year through the end of November?
We can, yeah, we're working on November right now to show us what percentage of budget we've used through November. But I want to make that a monthly report for you all so you can track it all year. And what we'll do is we'll give you the percentage of the year we're through, and you can go down the list and you can see where we are in relationship. Yeah. It's a great tool that I've used for quite a few years. It takes a while to get it set up in QuickBooks, but once it is, it's a report that Juanita can just spit out.
I'm looking forward to that.
I didn't see anything that jumped out at me on the financials or
report. For variances, and they didn't really seem for a month. So, are there any more questions for Jill on this? You don't need act to approve. Okay, the next one is election of board officers. That's the board chair, and Jim is proposing a vice chair who would fill in when the chair is not there, and then the board secretary. Do we have nominations for those offices? I just point out we normally rotate the chair in succession of their vote. I propose the vice chair be the next person after that. So the succession would be Mary Bruce, and then whoever's next year.
And could you describe the duties of the secretary as you understand them?
Just basically signing the documents. It's not like Sam's board secretary position. It's signing official documents as the secretary, as an officer.
Are these things that currently Walt is signing?
We haven't had that designation.
Okay.
Is that described by law?
No, but I think it's good practice.
Mm-hmm. I know on corporate boards or nonprofit boards that I've worked with, the secretary would be the one that would, if things needed to be attested for some reason, or if there was a bank statement kind of thing, the secretary would be.
Can we get a definition of what that entails? So what we're expecting the secretary to do or not do, because of commissioners in the office, and typically they are given paperwork to sign if we're there, so if there's anything specific.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't like it restricted that if the secretary was out of town, then we couldn't sign up.
It would only be if there was some paper that was required to be signed by a secretary for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll get you a definition.
I see the secretary as basically the function of transparency. The attesting to minutes, the attesting to documents is a statement of there being a true reflection of what occurred. And so I think it's a very important role.
We all signed the minutes. Who was the secretary? Who you're proposing?
It would be you. So if you went in the order of rotation, Mary would be chair, Bruce would be vice chair, you would be secretary.
Okay, I would not like my being a secretary to limit documents that can be signed by board members if I'm not available or whatever. So I think the board's run pretty well without having to do that. But if you see a need for that at a time when that might be appropriate, I'm more than willing to do it. I just don't want to put a constraint on us.
Let's work up a policy that states that basically what responsibilities and what happens in case of.
Sure, you've probably been down this road, so we all signed the minutes and we all signed the warrants, so that's okay. Okay, so I'll do it, but tell me what it is I'm supposed to do. Okay. That's what my wife says. I'll tell you where to stand and what to say, or what to wear.
So at this point, are we going to elect a board secretary as well, or are we just going to do the first two and delay action on the third one until we have a policy?
I can be whatever you guys, two guys want. I'd be glad to just be secretary when Jim says this is something for the secretary to sign, but I think we should use it to some policy so you all know when I'm signing behind your backs. Not to be facetious.
Now then I move a board slate for calendar year 2017, Commissioner McClure as the board chair, myself as the vice chair, and Commissioner Elliott as the board secretary.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Next is the WPGA trustee.
I think we had, the last discussion we had on that, we decided that the outgoing president would be the
yeah.
trustee for the succession.
You just said get to stay around for breakfast the next day.
That's right.
Or so you have to stay around for breakfast.
The outgoing chair gets saddled with both the secretary and the WPPA representative. So
brace yourself for me.
Yeah. No, I move that Commissioner Elliott be the WPPA trustee representative for calendar year 2017.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
No wisecracks. Okay, the next item is a resolution, 1201-2016. It has to do with insurance for employees. Jim?
Yeah, we've, for quite a few years, I've enjoyed having Aflac as a supplemental insurance, and a lot of ports do have supplemental insurance for employees. The Aflac representative came in and did a presentation to all the staff for all staff meeting. I believe we have five, is that right, Sam? Five people signed up?
I believe we have five. It's potentially
yeah.
six.
So any employee can do it. It's 100% their contribution, so there's no cost to the port, but it does give a lot of advantages to an employee if they're sick or injured. So in order to expedite this, because the premiums will come out of employees' paychecks, we need a resolution from the commission allowing that deduction from paychecks.
I move that we adopt resolution number 1201-2016, approving addition of Aflac supplemental insurance to elective employee benefits.
I'll second.
I have a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Discussion, excuse
yeah.
me.
So what I understand is that this is completely the employee's cash responsibility, but we would have some half hour a month administering it.
I doubt it's even that long, yeah. but yes, there will be some administrative
okay. time. But that's the extent of okay.
And one of the things that I didn't bring up, I'm sorry, is commissioners are available to take on this discount too as part of the organization. Once you sign up, it's your policy, so it's not necessarily you're going to have to be a port commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
But if any of you want it, like I said, it is a good plan.
And if I may, there are some hourly requirements to qualify for the benefit. It's a minimum, and they will average it out over the course of a month, but they do require 19 hours worked per week to qualify for the discount for the group rate that they're offering. And if we find that 19 hours a week, you know, if it's not averaging out to equal that, but if you're still interested, we can get you connected with that specialist and see about finding you rates that will work for your.
I'd be interested in pursuing that. No further questions from me.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Next is a covered mortgage repair project. Jim?
So we were very fortunate to have a local bidder on this project. Someone who knows our Marina very well, and I was skeptical at first, a little scared, but I think Bob and I had a great meeting with Craig Powell from Sea Level Buildings. His whole style of how he's going to do it is a lot different than the other bidders. He's not going to bring a big barge and crane. He's going to work down on the docks with FlexiFloats, and I think that's smart, and it's going to be better for the port, because we're not going to have a huge barge blocking our fairways. So with that, he was $400,000 cheaper than anyone else. So that was a big number to Bob and I, but when he explained to us that a barge and crane cost $10,000 a day, and this is a three-month project, that $400,000 got eaten up very quickly. So that's the differential. So we feel very comfortable with Craig. We'd like to move forward. I've checked references. He's worked for me in the past in Port Townsend. He's worked for the Port of Kingston before. So we did do a reference check, but he checks out pretty well. Yeah. Carolyn and I have put together a contract form that I can have for you to look at if you'd like. But I think staff would like to pursue notice of award to C-level so that we can get the panels ordered. You heard when John Roop was here, some of these panels take 2 months to manufacture. So we're trying to get this done before the summer season. So the sooner we can give a notice of award, the better. So we included a bid tab showing you the base bid, additive one, additive two, and additive three. And just so you know, additive one is pile driving for four additional piles. The problem is when I went through our files, I realized that Steve Hyman, when he did our permit, never included a programmatic pile permit. So we have to go back to square one on that. So it would be 6 months at least to get a pile permit, pile driving permit. Additive two is bird deterrent, which is wires on the roof to
stop bird deterrent.
So it's a low voltage wire on the roof to deter birds from on there. All of us are having a little problem with the way it's fastened to the roof, and we're worried about snow and what's going to happen to the wires in the snow. So we're not pursuing additive two. We would like to pursue additive three with sea level, and that would be the leveling of the floats. As you walk down the docks, a lot of the floats are cantered and have moved out of position. They're proposing $47,000 to go ahead and level all the floats. And it's a project that staff could do, but it would take us 2 years to do it. And they can bring a crew in and get it done right quickly.
The floats still have the angle, though, right?
The angle.
Floats are angled, so
the water. Yeah.
So it's just the way they mismatch.
Right.
Yeah.
So since we got a good bid of $916,000 plus tax, we'd like to recommend adding the additive one, or three, excuse me, for the leveling of the floats. With sales tax, that comes in just close, just under $1.2 million that we would like to get approval from the commission on.
One question, why is, and I realize this is irrelevant to sea levels bid, but do you know why Redside was almost $600,000 for bird deterrent?
I wish I could tell you. I think the board secretary missed the number somewhere, or added the number somewhere.
Board secretary confirmed and looked, and that is what was indicated on the bid document.
No, I'm saying their board secretary.
Oh, board secretary. Okay,
I'm sorry. You put the exact numbers around the bid form. They all kind of laughed. But just to take that one step farther, sea level has 20,000, but the contractor that was going to do it wanted 45,000 to do it. So when people put these bids together, they throw numbers around.
So
luckily, it's not something we're going to do.
I noticed that sea level is more than twice as high as anybody else on the additive three. Any particular reason for that? That is visible?
Not that's apparent. No, it's a big job. It's going to take a long time.
Is it easier to do from barges?
No, you want to be on the dock. If you know how docks are built, they're concrete slabs and have through rods through them. They have to loosen all the through rods, then move the concrete slabs, and then get them straight, and then tighten them. So it's a process that is a very tedious process, one float at a time.
So are you proposing only added a three or added one?
Just added a three.
So that doesn't come out to be 1.1 million?
Well, with tax.
Okay, so yeah, so we're just talking, these numbers, 96 and 46.
The pre-tax right? numbers.
Then you got to add tax.
So that's the amount, okay.
And it's under 1.2.
I get that. Yeah, okay, just wondering. I was trying to think of their bids. And,
okay. So I will email you a contract that Carol and I put together. And I said we would like to move forward. So what I'd like to ask is, to actually ask you to make a motion to approve a contract up to $1.1 million for sea level, that we will work out the paperwork to your satisfaction.
Up to 1.1 or 1.2?
Say 1.1.
Just Carolyn, you've been following the bidding process and advising Jim, so there's no questions on how. it's all clear and not a problem.
Well, we didn't do anything out of the ordinary. I didn't work with Carol on the bid itself.
No, but on the discussions on is your bid high enough or not high enough?
Well, I haven't had visibility to the bidding process, but I don't.
Okay.
What Jim has described
okay.
sounds straightforward.
I move that we move forward with a contract and an announcement of intent to award.
I'll second.
Okay, just one other question. Is there any more due diligence do we have to check for our customers? Or, is there any checks? All that's been done. Okay. Any other questions? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jim. Old business.
All right, so old business, item 8A. Staff has prepared an index of all motions for the year 2016 for all of our open public meetings. They're listed chronologically, and staff has included all motions.
Okay.
They didn't want to leave, you know, any risk of exclusion up to, you know, interpretation. So if a motion was made, it was indicated. If a motion was not made or clearly stated on past recorded minutes, it was not indicated. But moving forward, staff would like to provide this to the commission and to members of the public. It can be included within the minutes binder. It's up to the board if they would like to have this available online for the public to do a quick reference of motions. If you like how it is laid out, we can continue. If there are any recommendations, we're happy to adapt it and change it to your liking.
Yeah, I thought it was looks like a good tool to look back and to see some of the things we did. I had a question on a couple of them on page. It's the third page of this, it's page 43 of the packet, where you had noted motion not specified as written. And I wondered just what that meant.
The reason I wrote it that way, that's as I was producing this, and of course I missed that in that final proof, but it was an action item. The actual motion, so the language for the motion, the board moves to and who approved, who seconded, who made the motion, was not indicated in the minutes.
Okay.
So it was an action item in the minutes and on the agenda, but the actual language for the motion, who made the motion, and who seconded, were not indicated. So without those minutes and without that institutional knowledge, I don't know exactly
okay.
what motion would have been made during that time or if the item was tabled. So.
Okay. Just as an observation, I think the motion to adjourn, I don't know that we need to include those. That takes if that makes your life any easier to not have to put that in, or motion to approve the agenda unless there are amendments to it. I didn't.
And I think it wasn't specifically written on a consent agenda, but I think it's discernible what that motion was for. So. You have some latitude there.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. So that is very helpful. I think InVenture should be on the library of documents that are available to the public. We're trying to get stuff there for public records purposes so people can find what they want easily.
Yeah.
And suppose they want to go back in the minutes to see something, this will help them get there.
And actually, if I can make use of this tool for just a second and digress, there's a reference in the May 25th meeting to our cash handling policy revisions and monitoring that on an ongoing basis. Did we ever hear back from the state auditor?
No. I can follow up with them.
Uh-oh, you may have created a monster here.
Yeah, we're going to use this, Al.
It's okay. Hit the ground running, Jim. Thank you very much. Any more discussion of the format? I haven't heard any changes to it, so. Executive Director report.
Sorry, I didn't get you this a little earlier for everybody to review. just kind of update on a few things you might hear about in this week. Covering more, as we already talked about, I did pick up permits at the county day before yesterday, so we have all permits in place, and literally once we get the contract in place and we have his bid, performance bonds, we can start on that project. Hill House Rental, we had it professionally cleaned the other day, so it is ready for rental. We had the heater serviced, the fireplace serviced, house cleaned. The indications I'm getting from prospective renters is the rent's too high, and that's based on Kingston. What Samantha's going to be doing this week is being putting it on all of the websites in the Edmonds area to see if we can get a professional that's working across the water that would really like to live in Kingston. So before we think about lowering the price, maybe we can attract somebody to do that. So that's the goal next week, to get that out.
One way you can lower the rent is just to say, well, then, okay, we won't include the leasehold tax, and that'll be added on by the state.
And that's the killer on $3,000. That's $400 a month they're paying in leasehold tax. So,
and just tell, well, really, the rent's only $2,600. That's all you're having to pay. But the state...
Well, I think we just find out fair market value decided to do that. Mm-hmm. And wait for someone to come.
Test the waters.
Yep.
Washington Boulevard Park, as I picked up the permit for covered moorage, I gave the permit for Washington Boulevard Park. So we are fully vested under this year's stormwater program, which is very good. Because if you thought Tim Beachy's conversation 2 weeks ago at stakeholders was bad, wait until 2017, because the county is really going to be screwing down stormwater issues.
Is that Chris Mays?
Yeah. So we are vested under 2016 rules, so that is a good, that's good news. Their workload is very backlogged, mainly because of this permit change. And she said they probably are not going to get to it for 2 months. So give you a fair warning, not even think about a permit for longer. Monthly parking change, we have enacted Bruce's idea on monthly parking. So starting January 1, you get your blue tag to park, and you can park in any numbered spot anywhere in the court. We are hearing good things and bad things. We're hearing good things from people whose number is far away, and bad things for people who are parking right next to the ferry. So you might hear some things from people that have that coveted spot right next to the ferry landing. But I think it's going to be easier to manage once it's done. Change is hard, but I think it's going to be great.
Yeah. It might be worthwhile to mention that in case space, because that means more flexibility for people who are looking for a place to park.
Something I want to discuss, I don't know if we want to actually make a decision today, but I'm getting calls from local banks that interest rates are going up, and if we are thinking of pulling the trigger on $1 million loan for covered mortgage, now probably would be a good time to lock in a rate. Now that we actually have our figures, I would like to, I'd like permission to go out for a request for proposals from the four local banks.
Would you request the full $1 million, even though our bid cost is somewhat lower than we'd?
I think I would like to, just because I still think that the covered mortgage tenants should be paying for covered mortgage, and this will allow that to happen. Their differential will allow us to pay debt service rather than using tax dollars, which are in reserve.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a good plan to do that.
If you took out a less of a loan, you would, and then what do you do with that extra covered mortgage fee, whether you deposit in the marine replacement fund? I think we're talking about a line of credit, though, in a way, so we don't have to decide the exact amounts.
Right.
We can always say, okay, let's depending on our cash flow.
Apply for $1 million and draw down as much as we need.
We could later say, well, we've got all these other expenses. We really want to go to $1 million, or we feel we should. This is a good use of our money. So I'd support that.
So I will go out for at least proposals and bring them back to you for your consideration.
Okay.
One of the things, you know, an executive director can always find places to spend money. And I think that we really need to look at pile replacement, or some kind of programmatic pile replacement program. We don't have a permit in place. and the cost of permitting 5 piles or 100 piles is the same. And the Corps of Engineers has a program where we can actually permit for 60 piles, which we have 60 creosote piles remaining, and keep that permit active for 5 years. So we'd have 5 years to actually do that. I think it's a good policy to do, to have that in place. So I'd like to consider, anyway, we don't have to do it at this meeting, but consider starting the permitting process for the automatic pile replacement plan.
What's the cost of the permitting?
It'll probably cost about $10,000 for permitting.
Ouch. Do it once versus over and over. Mm-hmm.
I think that since we're talking about a 5-year permit, I can see us replacing some piles in 5 years. Typically, I was mentioning this at Jim, in the past we've done for mitigation. You come up with something and you want to do something, but then the county wants a mitigating action. So I would think in the next 5 years we will probably need to replace some piles for that, if that alone. So I think we should go ahead with the permitting, and then based on the budget we can decide how many we might want to replace in a given year. So I support that.
Yeah, I think it makes sense to get the permit. I'm a little bit curious, what does it cost to replace the piles based on the additive one numbers of to do 4 additional piles was anywhere between $2,000 and $14,000 per pile. So if we look at doing a dozen a year over, you know, for a 5-year period, $10,000 a piece, $5,000 a piece?
They're probably about $7,000 a piece. The most expensive part of any construction is mobilization, getting the pile driving barge in here. So it doesn't matter if you're doing 3 piles or 30 piles, you're going to pay $30,000 just to get that barge on your property. So that's why it's best to do a bunch of them one time.
Can I just add a little footnote that it's timely to apply for that permit? The Port of Tacoma had a tenant very recently that was doing some pile removal exactly for the mitigation. It was appealed by the Puyallup tribe, who wanted sampling and sediment testing and everything else added, which are not usual components of the programmatic pile permit conditions. And we prevailed at the Shoreline Hearings Board, but they've taken it up, so we don't want any new conditions added, so this would be good to get it in place.
So nothing's so bad it can't get worse.
Aptly put.
It just amazes me. Here we have creosote in the water.
Yes.
And the Corps of Engineers makes it so difficult. 6 months to do a permit to do the right thing for the environment.
Precisely.
The other thing.
So I think you're going. Do you need something? You're going to go look, pursue the permit process, or is that?
It's within my.
Do you need a motion?
No.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure you were aware of what I'm looking at doing this year. Wi-Fi improvements, we've been talking about it for a while. We've had Help Desk Cavalry do a full analysis of our system. They are getting 1 megabyte per second, which 10 years ago, that was not bad. Today, 1 megabyte per second is nothing. And we have little boards. So we really need to think about improving our Wi-Fi. So they're going to put together a proposal for us on how we might do that and incorporate antennas on our new covered board structures.
What became of the Bryson or Bison?
Banyan,
thank you.
He's AWOL.
Oh, you're kidding.
He put up a system. It's on sometimes, it's off sometimes. It's certainly not something we can count on.
Do we need to do something to terminate that? I forget what our exact agreement, the final form of agreement was. But
he has to remove what he put there if he folds
if we require him. Yeah.
Or turn it over to us or something
yeah.
like that. I don't think it does no harm sitting on
it. It doesn't do any harm, no, but it's certainly not been beneficial to use it for our system. So it'll be interesting to see what Help Desk comes to us with. You know, with new technology, new routers, and everything else, we might be able to get the speeds up to reasonable, you know, 21st century standards.
The complaint I've heard about the system reliability, that it's such a way it goes down for days at a time. I don't know if that's true or not. So Ralph had mentioned that, and I think we want to get that done before the summer season, because that's what we heard anyway. That's the Gen X boaters and others' transient moorage criteria.
So that will probably exceed my spending authority, so I will bring you back any kind of contract that they might be proposing.
Sure. You may need a budget adjustment too.
That's all I have.
I think the farmer's market will also be very interested in improving on the Banyan program because it is unintelligible to use and doesn't stay on and is not reliable during the. And they start their season, I believe, the 1st of May. So, just in terms of a timeline.
One thing I didn't put on here, and it kind of ties in, is I'm on a kick for better customer service. And as a boater, I believe that our guest boaters need more attention. So, our software program that we use to check boaters in has a new mobile app. And we're going to be pursuing a mobile app so that Austin and or Jeanette can go down in the dock, help people tie up their boat, and check them in right there. Because right now, they call on the radio and we say, go to slip 14 and come up to the office. It's just not customer service oriented. So we're going to go down there, welcome them to Kingston, check them in down there. It'll interface with QuickBooks in our system. And the cost is really nominal.
Great.
And I think we're going to get a lot of attribute or good attaboys for that.
It's a great idea. Mm-hmm. So we agree to it. Sure. Catch a line, too. Ken, what's the status of the construction project for the offices?
It's still in design. We haven't done anything.
Okay. So
we'll bring you the plans as soon as we get them, but Scott's been out of town so much.
Sure.
We haven't really.
And the permitting will follow after that.
It literally will be probably next September, October before we can.
Oh, okay.
It won't be in the spring.
What is the status of, I don't know if you have been copied on the material that Ron Carsmore has been sending out to stakeholders in the bay, in the cove, concerning the Darrow dead boat. Can we call it a dead boat? The one that's not on our property.
So as you know, the boat is there. DNR is not going to do anything. It's on private property, not your property, two doors down. The owner of the boat has been non-responsive. We have not seen him. The first couple of days, he was in using our boat ramp almost all day. He's disappeared. I talked to Sheriff McDonough today. He doesn't feel the sheriff's department is going to do anything. There's really not a lot that can be done. I did tell Mr. Carsmar that I would ask the commission. One of the issues is all of this stuff has fallen off the deck. Now, we've put a boom around it, but there is stuff inside the boom just full of doors and cans and everything else that are being captured. I told Ron that we don't have the staff to do that, and I really don't want to get too involved, and I really want Carolyn's take on, if we do get involved, what that's going to mean. So I don't know if you've been up to speed. A boat sunk in the bay last week. Our staff came on, called the Coast Guard and Ecology. Ecology came out and pumped 250 gallons of fuel off. We immediately boomed the boat so that there was no oil spill. The boat is on private property, and it's on the hard. It's not moving. And now, in the last few days, it starts splitting apart. It's an old wooden boat. So getting rid of it's going to be pretty difficult. Mr. Carsmore, I would like to know if the port would donate one staff person in the boat to go out to the boom and have volunteers actually take the stuff out of the water so it doesn't end up in the beaches and everywhere else. I told him I would ask the commission if what you felt about that, but I always wanted to know what our legal liability is if we go start touching private property.
Yeah, and the liability of the volunteers that are on mm-hmm. the boat and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if they sign a release, it doesn't help us. Though.
Right, right. But Seth Goodstein of our office is Mr. Derelict Vessel, as you may know. So do you mind if I have him give you a call?
Sure. No, I'd love to talk to Seth and see. You know, one of the things, everybody said, we want to do this, this, and this, but I still believe we need a release from the owner of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Even
at
though
the
he's
very
abandoned
least.
It, it's his personal property, and we can't start taking things off of it.
At the very least. Anyhow.
I don't want to end up owning that boat.
Right.
I've been through the process of breaking up a boat on the beach and dragging truckloads of debris away. If a community group can figure out how to do this, more power to them. If there's some way we can support what's happening without ending up with responsibility, I wouldn't even touch this without the release from the owner. So,
just to put this in perspective, this is not a boat, this is a fishing vessel. An Alaskan fishing vessel, what's 70 feet long?
73 feet.
So it's a lot of material.
Yeah.
So it's not a small, it's not something that volunteers could actually.
And then who takes on the disposal of the materials once you do drag it in? Yeah.
It's as big as a patrol boat.
Adds up quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah, and of course, we understand he had no insurance. That's why he couldn't tie up in the marina. So there's not going
to
be
I think our role is to try
nightmare.
To find try to find if there are resources external from port, and can we help mobilize a more government agency? We're probably better positioned than citizens to say, Coast Guard, can you do it? DNR, can you do this? If there's some other derelict vessel asset, it's not our responsibility, but we could help try to find.
Yeah, you'll find the Coast Guard is concerned about dollars and money as well.
Well, it's on private property, and that's what they tell us.
If it's not an impediment to navigation.
I'm surprised that the Coast Guard or the Ecology paid to have the fuel removed. So they had Global Diving come to pump all that fuel. That had to cost them a lot of money, even though the boat was on private diving.
I might have not known that at the time. So it was originally anchored in DNR property, and then when the anchor broke free, it
drifted in.
Sure.
Is that going to pose a hazard to the summer sailing program? Is that a place where they sail through?
I don't think so. It's pretty confined to a certain area. Might be a good buoy for them to sail in. Although I heard that at minus one, it's on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
There's no water there.
Mm-hmm. It'd be more curiosity, I think, for people boaters to go out and see. And
but he did put a light on it. The Coast Guard required to put a light, and the owner did put it on. How long the battery's going to last on it, but there is a red flashing light on it.
What's the right light signal for that? A vessel aground, not under command, I think it's called.
How about that?
When you figure that out, let me know.
I will. I think it's white over red.
Yeah, I know there's got to be a signal for that.
Or red over red. Okay. Any more on this commissioner's report?
I do have one other question. Is it the idea of our doing a lot of research, staff doing a lot of research to identify and secure resources, is having, what do you call them, Mr. Derelict Vessel?
Mm-hmm.
Getting information from Carolyn's firm about resources and handing that over with some advice sufficient. I'm really concerned about asking Jim or somebody on staff to become an expert about available resources in the next 3 days.
I don't think there was a timeline.
Well, what I'm saying is,
I mean, I'm just thinking it's a good stewardship thing.
Yeah.
We're concerned about the ecology of the cove or who our boaters are going to be. And that would be the reason. I don't know if that's a good enough reason. But I don't think we should put an urgency on this. That boat's. I remember when there was a boat that was there for almost a year or two, one that was over by where Tanya's property is, with a sailboat. So these things.
I think if we commit to providing information about resources and then drag it out, that would be more detrimental in terms of how we look to the community than just saying walking away from it. But I think the information from you and Mr. Derelict Vessel could very well be solve that need.
I don't think we're talking about dragging it out. We're not saying drop everything and work this full time. We're just saying, you're better positioned with whatever you can do. I think you can use good judgment here.
Seth and I have been working together a long time.
Yeah.
We have a lot of derelict boats.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But
and this is and it's more along the line of what the port can and cannot
do with respect to that.
Or is there anybody that's uncomfortable with that, Mary? Are you uncomfortable with Jim? I mean, I don't want to go anywhere out of our comfort zone. This is purely a Good Samaritan thing. It's not our business.
Yeah, and recognizing that no good deed goes unpunished, we need to be cautious. But I agree with you that we do have a self-interest in trying to get it gone, even though we're not in a position to be able to make it gone. So
I hope we can make it gone.
I hope we can.
A lot of ports have the area ecology in their mission statement. Mm-hmm. And a number of ports in their mission statement include environmental mission to try and improve the area environment. So it's not uncommon for ports to be thinking about what can we do in our area, and maybe there's some precedence there.
Right.
I think it's very important for us to have that perspective. Mm-hmm. There's aesthetics, there's potential navigation, hazards for navigation, there's ecology, many things. But I also think that it's really important that we not promise something, but then we don't deliver in a manner, a timely enough manner, that people feel we, in fact, deliver. I don't want to be accused for, well, you said you were going to do it. You know,
yeah. And of course, as soon as we say we're going to do something, there will be an assumption we're going to do something more and something more and something more. So we want that project created.
And we want the owner's release.
Unfortunately, there aren't a lot of resources available.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody thinks that the feds are going to come in, but they've got 1,000 sunken boats around the country.
Does it get on the derelict vessel list? Does it get on the derelict vessel list?
On private property. It's only
so it's not even on
so what
list.
They really want is a big storm from the west here that will push it out.
Let's make sure that it doesn't come north.
So the fund can't be used for vessels aground on someone's private property. Is that correct? Well, you'll find out.
We'll find out for sure. But just how timely. This was in the Tacoma News Tribune just today at 4:19 p.m. Rash of derelict boats in South Sound strains response resources. Mm-hmm. Make it more dynamic.
Yeah, I thought the fund actually was part of that, but maybe I don't know. And I think it's a little priority. I agree with that. It's not environmental hazard.
Or navigation.
Ecology can be proactive on the things, too. Remember that you told us that if they see it go into the estuaries, that they have this environmental response thing. So, to prevent immediate damage. But they're only talking about protecting estuaries and things like that. They're not talking about taking care of the problem.
Right. Okay. Can I ask a couple of questions about the calendar? Mm-hmm. What is the Fast Ferry fee meeting? There's two different times. I'm just wondering what that meeting is.
We often come to the Village Green calendar here to find out what's going on in the community. And there are going to be two public meetings mm-hmm. on the Fast Ferry fee. So we have no idea what it is.
Okay.
We thought you might be interested. Mm-hmm.
No idea.
And it was not listed on the Kitsap Transit website, so I would have to find it further.
Okay. I just
If you learn something, please share.
I think we're meeting on the 3rd, aren't we?
Yeah, I had down that we had at least reserved that.
We're going to not do the Monday, we're going to do the Tuesday.
That's what I thought as well.
Yeah.
So,
is that still in play? That's just for our commissioner conversation.
Yeah,
right.
Our work session.
Special meeting, I suppose.
Okay. You want a special meeting or just the conversations?
A work session.
Work session?
I've got an item on that that I'd like to address, but I don't know if this is the time to do it.
Okay. We can do a special meeting on the 3rd.
Okay.
I'll
get it to you. I've got it here, but. When Mary did all that work on that proposal, I said, well, I'll go back to the baseline. You know, what did we agree to in November? And then what was in this thing? So I tried to figure out, well, what would happen if we don't do anything? You know, we don't take a proposal. And actually, you're committed to do stuff in January. You know, and set up for an open house. And we either got to turn that off or we got to do something because Jim needs to know what he does because he's supposed to start doing stuff. According to what we said in November. So I kind of laid this out as a bookend, and all this is what we said in November and what it says here, and trying to fill in the white space in between. So this is sort of the bookend that's the other end. I think we should talk about it and we've got to decide to tell Jim, what are you going to do? What do we do? or do you go ahead with plan A, or do you go with plan B? And I think we should make that decision because January will be upon us. So so here those guys are. It's my attempt to do it. It's probably, I probably fudge things, you know, I probably try to pull something past you, so look it over. But it's kind of the default plan, the way I see it, based on what this says and what we talked about on November 4th, something like that.
November 4th, it was discussed at the
end. Yeah, you can look at those minutes and see if I got it right.
I do have a call into Matt, and they are closed between Thanksgiving this week to the first of the year. So I left a message. He said he is checking his messages, but he hasn't got back. Because I think Heartland needs to get into this discussion, too.
Yeah. Well, that's another question. Do we, if we're going to change what our plan, do we bring Heartland in and say we've got a different plan or we want to adjust things?
Was this based on our original schedule with Heartland or our extended?
Well, I used the number of months Heartland said they would take, and they started in August.
Okay.
So I just moved it out
to match it.
And
okay.
Then the starting point came from the discussion that we had where we say having an open house on the end of January. That was what the note said. So that's kind of how I bookended that. Okay, so just don't need to talk. Just I think we need to talk about it on the 3rd because we got to make a decision.
A couple other things out here. We put the Seattle Boat Show. I'm planning to go over for a couple hours. I don't know if any of you want to go over to the Seattle Boat Show. I think it's always good to be there and talk to other ports and other things. Also, I don't know that we let you know that Samantha is going to be sitting on the North Kitsap Tourism Coalition. More
cool.
So anyway, she's going to be taking Nancy Langwist's kind of slot because Nancy is stepping down from that. So it's great that the port's going to be involved in tourism.
That's good.
Okay. And what is WPPA Port Day?
That's a day in Olympia where all the ports convene on the Capitol and talk to their legislatures about their hopes and dreams. I've never been, so I don't know exactly, but WPPA is promoting that if ports want to. Every 2 years, ports actually go down and do kiosks and things, selling their port in the rotunda, but that's not going to happen this year. It's just meeting the legislators.
It could be kind of like the cities, maybe, where there's legislation being dropped, and WPPA wants us to go knock on doors and to say please support it, that sort of stuff. But I haven't seen anything in the newsletters.
Yeah, they haven't really. They talked about the legislative agenda at the last meeting, but they haven't really talked about what they want to get us involved in. One other thing on the calendar, the January calendar. I think it would be a good idea to include the monthly chamber lunches on that, because quite often.
Have one in January? I wasn't sure they had one in January. I actually told them to take it off. We normally do.
All right.
But the chamber website hasn't been updated all month.
Yeah, they canceled their board meeting this month. I understand that Shelby's mother had an illness that sort of took her out of the loop, and so they're a little off kilter. But if it was just this month that it came off, and it's normally on there. That addresses my concern. I just want to make sure that
it's normally on there. The board meeting's normally on there, and the chamber meeting's normally on there.
Typically, at least one of us, and sometimes all three of us are there. So.
And then we even do the after hours normally if they're going to have.
Okay. Great. Thank you for doing this. That's terrific. Now I know what's happening in Kingston.
Yeah. Backing up a minute, our special meeting on the 3rd, is that going to be 9 o'clock there or 1 o'clock here? Or
9 o'clock, the yacht club.
9 o'clock, yacht club.
We've got to give Jim direction.
Yeah.
So what is the difference between our work session and a special meeting? Because we've just used two different terms for this.
So work session, we don't take minutes. We record the meetings, but we don't do formal minutes. It's open to the public work session, no agenda. The special meeting is an action item or some action we do. We do minutes, we record it. It's a regular meeting.
So is January 3rd work session or a special meeting?
Special meeting, because we're going to possibly take action.
If under the law, there's only two types, regular and special and emergency. So a work session would be a special meeting, but it would be a special meeting which you didn't announce that you're going to take a specific action. Because if you have a special meeting, you take an action. Yeah, okay, you got that. So it's got to be announced. So. Okay, commission reports.
Let's see. I was at the stakeholders, along with a couple other people here. Nothing particular came out. There was a lot of discussion about the complete street study, and I'm still concerned that they seem to have adopted a final version of that that imagines all sorts of uses for property without ever having discussed with us. But
has that been approved by the county?
It's on their website as final. Okay. So I'm assuming it's been adopted and finalized. As I said a minute ago, the chamber's monthly board meeting was canceled this month, so I didn't go to that.
No report. I spent a lot of my time this month thinking about public outreach.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah,
I said all I got to say. Okay. Now we have the next regular meeting is January 25th. Are there any staff comments other than what you already said?
Not at this time.
Okay, now we recess to...
Wait a minute, he didn't ask what you want.
Oh, and the executive director's report. You want to know about
the... I just
want
to be a staff, because I tell you, I was so proud last night. Last night was magical. We had an employee appreciation night, Carolyn, and it was just a magic event.
Oh.
And to see the love in the room, and it meant a lot to me, and it meant a lot to most people who were there, so thank you for participating.
Yeah, it's great.
And thank you for organizing it and pulling it off.
Is there any other discussion before we go to the executive session? Okay, our next item is the executive session. How long do we expect that to be?
15 minutes, most.
Okay, how about we will resume regular session at 9.
And this is for purposes of litigation, and no action is expected?
Correct. This is discussed with legal counsel representing agency matters relating to agency enforcement actions, or to discuss with legal counsel representing the agency litigation or potential litigation to which the agency, the governing body, or member acting in official capacity is or is likely to become a party, when public knowledge regarding the discussion could result in an adverse legal or financial consequence to the port. That is the purpose of the session.
What is the difference between could result and is likely to result? Does that matter? Is that a material difference in purpose?
It's just the degree of predictability.
Okay.
And that comes right out of the RCW.
No, this is just the RCW rules.
Yeah,
okay. We just
okay.
So we ask you gentlemen to give us 15 minutes, and we will open the door again at 9.
Dean, is there any other item businesses for the meeting? Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So move.
Second.
Aye.
Okay. You can come on in. We're done. Yeah, did you have something you want to talk to us about? Okay. Is he one of the property owners? You know?
No, he's my brother.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He was here.
I'm sorry.
No. He was here the night that Christine got fired.
Wow, that's cool. Thank you. Is there a discussion time, right?